ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय the character of Bharat Maharaj. Text number 23. Kimva are acharitam tapas tapasin jnanaya yat iyam avanihi savani savinaya krishna Savinaya Krishna, Sara, Anaya, Tanutara, Subhaga, Shivata Matra, Kura Pada, Pankhivir, Dravina, Vidura, Durasya, Karpanasya, Mama, Dravina, Padavin, Suchayanti, Atmana, Cha Sarvataha, Krita, Kautukam, Dvijana, Svargata Varga, Kamana, Deva Yajanam Karoti. Word for word translation. Kimva. What?
What?
Hare.
Hare.
Oh. Acharitam.
Acharitam.
Practice.
Practice.
Tapaha.
Tapaha.
Penance.
Penance.
Tapasvinyana.
Tapasvinyana.
By the most fortunate.
By the most fortunate.
Anaya.
Anaya.
This planet Earth.
This planet Earth.
Yet.
Yet.
Since.
Yam.
This.
This.
Avanihi.
Avanihi.
Earth.
Earth.
Savinaya.
Savinaya.
Very mild and well behaved.
Very mild and well behaved.
Krishna Sara Kanaya.
Krishna Sara Kanaya.
Of the calf of the black deer.
Of the calf of the black deer.
Tanutara.
Tanutara.
Small.
Small.
Subhaga.
Subhaga.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Shivatama.
Shivatama.
Most auspicious.
Most auspicious.
Akara.
Akara.
Soft.
Soft.
Pura.
Pura.
Of the hooves.
Of the hooves.
Pada Pankiti.
Pada Pankiti.
By the series of the marks.
By the series of the marks.
Dravina Vidura Arturasya.
Dravina Vidura Arturasya.
Who is very aggrieved.
Who is very aggrieved.
Because of.
Because of.
Loss of wealth.
Loss of wealth.
Kripanasya,
Kripanasya,
the most unhappy creature. Mama,
Mama,
for me.
For me.
Dravina Padami, the way to achieve that wealth. Suchayanti,
indicating.
Atmana, the own personal body.
Cha,
and
Sarvataha,
on all sides. Krita Kautukam,
ornamented.
Vijana,
of the
Brahmanas. Swarga Apavarga Kamana, who are desirous of achieving heavenly plans,
all
liberation.
Deva Yajana,
a place of sacrifice to the demigods. Taruti, it makes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada. After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharata got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, O unfortunate Bharata, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerity undergone by the earth planet. Due to the earth's severe penances, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost wealth. By these footprints, This land has become a proper place for Brahmanas, who desire heavenly planets or liberation to execute sacrifices to the demigods. Because it is said that when a person becomes overly involved in loving affairs, he forgets himself as well as others, and he forgets how to act and how to speak. It is said that once, when a man's son was blind since birth, the man, out of staunch affection for the child, named him Padmalochan, or Lotus Eye. This is the situation arising from blind love. Bharat Maharaj gradually fell into this condition due to his material love for the deer. It is said in the Smriti Shastra, Yasmin Deshe Mridaha Krishnas, Tasmin Dharman Ivodata. That tract of land wherein the footprints of a black deer can be seen is to be understood as a suitable place to execute religious rituals. Om Ajnana Trivandasya Gyananjana Sanataya Chakshuru Mnita Nyana Tasmin Sri Guru Yama Sri Chaitanya Mahamudistam Sthapita Vyana Bhukale Swayam Rupa Kadami Yantadati Swapadana Pancha Kalpa Krubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayucha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedada Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna every class, whether it's here, Bhagavatam class, or whether it's Bhagavad Gita class, the speaker who sits on the Vyasasan starts off singing the Jayarada Madhava bhajan. Why do you sing it? Every day you sing. Why do you sing it? Yes, because Prabhupada sang. Why did Prabhupada sing? Yes. Prabhupada was very fond of this bhajan. This is the bhajan which was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's from this compilation of works, Gita. Prabhupada was very, very fond of this bhajan. And in fact, in India, in two places, in Allahabad and Gorakhpur, he just sang the first two lines of this bhajan and he went into ecstasy. It was so powerful. And then when he came back into external consciousness, he just said, Chant Hare Krishna. This bhajan is like an iceberg. See, you know, when you see an iceberg, you see the tip of it. But below the tip of it, there is a huge, big block of ice floating under, submerged. So this Jayarada Madhava Bhajan is like giving us a small window, a glimpse of what is happening at Prema Bhakti level. As we meditate, as we sing and as we meditate on this bhajan, it takes us deep into, it gives us a small glimpse. We can just get the knowledge and not realize. Gives us a knowledge of what's happening at the pinnacle of Prema Bhakti. Jayarada Madhava, straight away, it focuses on, what does it mean? Radha Madhava is focusing on the divine couple, Krishna, who is the beloved of Srimati Radharani. Next is Kunja Vihari. Kunja Vihari is relating to the grudge, the growth of Vrindavan, where it is Lord Krishna is having amorous pastimes. Then Gopijana Ballava. Gopijana Ballava is a beloved of the gopis. And each time as we read this or hear this or meditate on this, it opens up a lot more of what's actually going on in just these simple sentences. So much depth, so much richness. Gopijana Ballava. Then after that is Girivaradhar. Girivaradhar is the lifter of the Govardhan Gir. But in the lifting of the Govardhan Gir, it opens up so many pictures in our mind as to what goes on around Govardhan. We read in the Leelas, the Bhagavad. He is lifting the Govardhan, protecting the Prajavasis. And around Govardhan, your Shamakund, Radhakund, is the high, exalted philosophical, the prayojana, the very goal of our journey in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually starts off with the pinnacle. So every Bhagavatam class begins with the very, very top, the essence. So it's like then, what's the next verse?
Yashoda
Nandana. Just that two words, Yashoda Nandana, immediately you picture Lord Damodar running around and Mother Yashoda chasing him. All these pictures come into your mind. Then after that, Yashoda Nandana, Rajajanaranjana, the darling of the residents of Vrindavan. Okay, all the other gopis and all the other Rajavasis, there is so much to complain about him, but still they love him. He is the darling of Rajavasis. Then Yamuna Tira Vanichari is wandering in the forest of Vrindavan along the banks of the river Yamuna. So rich, so deep, and Prabhupada has given us this topmost pinnacle of understanding what our goal in life is. Not so much for us to aspire to go there and become one of these main players in the bhajan. No. We are aspiring so that one day, when we perfect our life, we can just enter into the spiritual world and just be a speck of a speck of a speck of dust of Braj, of the spiritual world. In the mood of just to serve the Lord to please Him. Some little corner, in the speck of a speck of a speck. Now that's on Prema Bhakti platform. And as we know, the stages of Bhakti, they are nine. It starts off with Shraddha. Faith, then it moves on to Sadhu Sangha. Then Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha. After Nishtha, Ruchi, Taste, Asakti, Attachment, then Sava. So we know the goal. Then we got to know where we are now. We are going through these processes, the stages of bhakti, we are practicing. But here is this pastime of Bharat Maharaj, who is on what platform? Bhava platform, all the way up there. It's so close to Prema Bhakti. And yet, he can fall. So how do we reconcile someone who is so exalted at that level of Bhava Bhakti can actually fall from that level? And the answer is provided in the beginning of the fifth canto when the pastime of Maharaj Priyavarta begins. So as you know, after the Prachetas in the lineage of Uttanapad, when they finished their pastimes, there were no suitable kings to take on to create progeny. Then Priyavarta, who was actually a self-realized soul meditating on the Dandamagana mountains, he had to be called back by his father, Swayambhu Manan, correct? And he didn't actually listen at first. He was instructed to be a perfect realized soul by Narada Muni himself. Lord Brahma had to come in and to persuade him to actually take on, re-enter household life. So, Parikshit Maharaj, who was hearing this, was astonished as to how someone so exalted, so self-realized, could actually be dragged back into a household life. So he posed the question, how is it that one who is so exalted can fall back into this household life, material life, which is a material life of bondage? Sukadev Goswami answers, he says, yes, it is correct. One who is attached to the nectar-like lotus feet of the Lord, and one who is constantly absorbed in hearing His glories, can never leave his exalted position, but sometimes he is checked by impediments. And there are two kinds of impediments, Sukadeva Goswami goes on to explain. One is Vaishnava Aparada, and the other one is desire of the Lord Himself to check the devotional service of the practitioner. And in that we get the example of Jai Vijay as to what happened to them. So here is Bharat Maharaj on the material platform, Bhava stage, but here Jai Vijay, they are on the spiritual platform, spiritual world, and they are in Vaikuntha, correct? Gatekeepers. And yet they too, they fell down. So it's again due to the Lord Himself intervening to check the impediment. Why? Because the Lord Himself, He is the supreme enjoyer. He arranges all these impediments so that He can enjoy His pastimes with these exalted devotees. There's exchange of ras between the Lord and the devotees. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So, Sambandha is a relationship. That relationship between Jiva and the Lord has five principal rasas and seven secondary rasas. So, in this case of Jai Vijay, it's the secondary ras of Veera ras. The Lord actually wanted to enjoy, display Veera ras. Who else is the supreme enjoyer, is the supreme fighter? Who else can be better fighter than him? So to enjoy that, he comes down and he brings his two gatekeepers. And they take on the role of first birth they took as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So that's how we reconcile why this pastime is actually understandable to us, because it's so bewildering when we read through. It's like pages after pages of the Bhagavatam is saying, yeah, you go through your devotional process, you go through the stages, you practice your chanting, and you make progress, and then you fall. It makes us scratch our head. So we got to understand that Lord arranges all these things in one sense. And of course the first one is Vaishnava Aparada. That's heavy. So here we see the journey of Bharat Maharaj. as to how he takes on the kingdom, rules very nicely from his father, Vishvadev. And by destiny, he is given what? 10 million years to enjoy material opulence. Mm-hmm. So he is given 10 million years not to end his life. See, 10 million years just to enjoy the material opulence. Then when that time came, he gave up all kingdom opulence and he went to the forest. That's for the process of self-realization. And then he left a position where he was so exalted, where he knew that his performance as a Kshatriya, a king, to rule the kingdom was a service to the Lord, where he knew every worship, the sacrifices that the Brahmanas performed, the priests performed, he expertly understood that the offerings by the Brahmanas to the sacrificial fire, to the demigods, was indeed, he had this higher understanding, was indeed to the various limbs of the Lord. So he had that deep understanding of how to perceive each service, that it is simply to please the Lord. But then in contrast now, you see in yesterday's words, he's organizing sacrificial ingredients. His focus is not on thinking about the Lord, he's thinking about India.
The deer, the baby deer, the fawn. Right? And how Maya has played this role to actually diminish or cover the spiritual credits, the piety, the devotional sukriti that has been accumulated, and how he now starts falling down. To the extent now, where today's verse is like, he's seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, and he has got misplaced love for the footprints. Yeah? So his mind is so troubled. His mind is so troubled that it has taken him away from focusing on the footprints of the Lord to actually focus on the footprints of the baby. And again, going back to the pastime of Maharaj Priyavarta, when Lord Brahma descended onto the scene to actually persuade Maharaj Priyavarta to enter household life, he makes this important instructional comment. He says, if one's mind is not self-controlled, one has to be attached to material bondage. Why? Because even if one goes from forest to forest, who follows? The mind and the five centers there, six, the mind and the four wives. They follow to the forest. And we see that in this case, where Bharat Maharaj, having left where his mind is not controlled, and how he is now taken his co-wives to the forest and the senses are bombarding him. We engage our senses to please the Lord. Okay, we engage our senses, like we've got five knowledge acquiring senses. What are they? Ear, eyes, nose, tongue, skin. And then we engage our five working senses. We got speech, the anus, genitals, hands, feet. All this is engaged on serving the Lord. But it also highlights the danger of doing this in isolation. Essentially, Bharat Maharaj is a victim of bad association. So he had the perfect formula to fall down. Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion talks about these 64 angas of bhakti. Yeah? And then that was condensed into five, where we got to live in the holy place, where we got to hear Bhagavatam, we got to chant the holy names, now Sankirtan, and what we have to do. Have good association. And one more is worship. Yeah? So, everything is, the formula is just not right for Bharat Maharaj. Poor association, who has taken association of? A deer. Vishaya. Vishaya means an object of sense gratification. It is so dangerous, Vishaya. Compared to Visham. Visham means poison. But Vishaya attachment to sense gratification is so, so dangerous, because poison, one lifetime you're dead. But Vishaya, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, it bonds you, it keeps you in bondage. So in Narottam Das Thakur, in his song, Lala Samayi Praratna, he sings, Vishaya chariya kabe sudha abhimana kabe hamahe rabo sri vrindavana. Vishaya, he says, when will my mind be detached from these objects of sense gratification so that I can focus on Vrindavan? It is so, so dangerous if we leave the shelter of the Lord. Lord Brahma, after the Brahma, we know Anna Leela. He glorifies the Lord with wonderful praise. And one of it is, he says, Samashrita ye pada pallava bhava. Maha, what's the verse of the Lord? Mahatpadam Punya Yasho Murare Bhavan Buddhin Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yad Vipadam Nakesham. For one who has taken the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose feet are so soft, pallava, they are like flower buds, they got a pinkish hue. For one who has taken shelter of that, of those feet, the very feet that hold the whole cosmic manifestation, and the Lord who is the killer of the demon Murari, who is famous as Murari, for those who have taken that shelter, this ocean of material world is just like water in a calf's kufri. And for them, Vaikuntha is the destination. Not this world where there is always danger at every step. Padam padam yati padam. There's danger at every step. We do not belong to this material world. We simply do not. In fact, I heard one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures recently. And in that, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes what his spiritual master's instruction to him was. Prabhupada says, quote, "My Guru Maharaj said, this material world is not fit for a gentleman to live," unquote. Not fit for a gentleman to live. And if we think about the Gajendra Moksha pastime, Gajendra, as we know, he got his foot caught in the mouth of a crocodile who was in his body of water. Yeah. And there was this big battle going on for 1,000 years. Gajendra was trying to free himself. Now this was happening in the water. The crocodile was situated in the water. That's the normal place for the crocodile. He was situated in his normal environment. But Gajendra is a land animal. And here, he was stuck in the water. Fighting. So obviously, the land animal being situated in the wrong environment was weakened. And finally, knowing that he was losing the battle, he just surrendered for Lord Vishnu to then descend. Similarly, we are spirit souls. We do not belong to the material energy of the Lord. We are spirit. We belong to this spiritual energy. Atastha Shakti. So, when we are not correctly situated in our constitutional position, then there is disharmony. We try to make good what is not the right environment for us to actually make good. We belong to the spiritual world. As I said earlier, we got the sambandha, a relationship with the Lord. We know the prayojana. And there is a process. The process as to how to develop our sambandha with the Lord. And the process is, Prabhupada has given the 9 processes of bhakti. of devotional service. What are the 9 processes of devotional service? All of you should be giving class. Right? So, nine processes of devotional service. Service means absorption. Service means focus. Service means discipline. To actually connect mind, body and soul to focus on pleasing the Lord in the correct mode of as a servant. Knowing that we are not the doer. Every opportunity that we get to do devotional service, we have to remember we are not the doers. Every time that we offer arati, we are not the doer. We are simply meditating on assisting Guru to actually do the service. What qualification do I have? I can only speak for myself. To actually be so qualified to think that I am the doer of offering the arati to Guru. Every flower that we offer to Prabhupada or to the deities, we are doing it on behalf of our spiritual master. Every time that we pay obeisances, we are doing it on behalf of our spiritual master. Every time that we worship, we do it with focus that we are assisting our guru to do the service. Prabhupada says in one of our earlier purports of this chapter, if the mind is distracted from worship, then that worship is a mere show which does not bring any benefit. I think it says that in text 14. Yeah. I read this. If one's mind is distracted from worship, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. So the next time that we think that we are doing service, think again, it is not we who are doing the service. We are simply doing it in the mode of assisting our guru. Das, das and das. And in this journey of doing the service, we have to know that we are getting the mercy of Guru and Krishna for our own purification. We are getting this opportunity to be engaged in devotional service, and we are getting this opportunity to purify our intelligence to actually control our mind. You got to understand, the intelligence is higher than the mind. Bhagavad Gita 3.42, what does it say? Indriyani prani aho indriyeva paramanaha manasastu parabuddhi yobuddhi parasastu saha. Indriyani prani aho. Our senses are higher than dull matter. Then, next one. Indriyeva paramanaha. The mind is higher than the senses. Manasastu parabuddhi. Intelligence is higher than the mind. And then, your buddhir parasvastusta, the soul is supreme to the mind and intelligence. So in that purport of 342, Prabhupada actually explains the profound sentence. He says that with intelligence, understand your constitutional position in relation to the Supreme Personality of Krishna, and always engage your mind in Krishna consciousness. That will solve the whole problem, Prabhupada says. We got to know where we are, we got to know where we want to go, we got to know how, in what mood we need to apply ourselves. And when we apply ourselves with that mood of surrender, we then realize or take on the understanding that we simply become an instrument of the Lord in propagating His glories. Instrument of the Lord to not just read Bhagavatam for our own purification, but as an instrument to glorify this. Like what Lord Chaitanya says. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, I'm just a gardener. I've got this wonderful fruit of the glories of the holy name, Nama Sankirtan. I'm just a gardener. I've just got two hands. Who can help me distribute these fruits? So He's calling out, He's giving us this causeless mercy. Take these fruits, give it to the whole world. We are in the movement of Gosyanandis. We are in the movement of not about self-salvation. We are in the movement of delivering others who are in Maya, who are living under illusion, who have left Krishna from the spiritual world, who have fallen to these modes of material nature, and who are now ensnared in the energies of Maya. Daivi Esha Puramani Mama Maya Dudar. It's very difficult. Yeah. But here Bharat Maharaj is taking on the position of like a bhajanandi. He's gone into isolation. And you see the dangers of being a bhajanandi versus Gosyanandi. Gosyanandi, there's opportunity to engage in various processes of devotional service. Bhajanandi, you are so, and you are the dangers of being bombarded by the senses, by the mind. Compare Bharat Maharaj's consciousness to Akrura's consciousness. Today's verse talks about footprints. Yeah. Bharat Maharaj is so focused on the footprints of the deity. And compare that deer consciousness to Krishna consciousness that Akrura displayed when King Kamsa sent him from Mathura to Vrindavan. So he got ready with his chariot in the morning, and from the moment he started his journey of traveling to Vrindavan to meet Krishna and Balaram, he was deeply meditating on how fortunate he is to actually get to meet or get to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Even though he was going to get the physical darshan of Krishna and Balaram, he was meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. And we see how in the evening when he reached Gokula, Vrindavan, he rolled in the dust. He saw the footprints of Lord Krishna. How wonderful this is. How wonderful this is, he cried. Deep absorption. How wonderful, how fortunate that we are being in the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being a simple, insignificant instrument in trying to play that role as Dasa no Das, to share this Krishna consciousness and to actually help build up the fallen souls. We are not empowered, but we can only take on the mercy of Guru and Dauranga. Srila Prabhupada we know the monumental journey that he took. 13th of August 1965, he boarded the Jalagunda. He took Vrindavan in his heart, went across the seas, okay, and started his Hare Krishna movement. But over the years, Srila Prabhupada placed his footprints all around the globe in many countries. By the time he left, 108 temples Srila Prabhupada had established. Yes? So his lotus footprints were actually places of pilgrimage. They became places of pilgrimage. Between 1971 and 1976, Srila Prabhupada paid 6 visits to Australia and 3 visits to New Zealand. And that time, between 1971 and 1976, in those visits, which spanned a total of 80 days put together, Srila Prabhupada set his footprints on Australian soil, established places of pilgrimage. And with him, he had his empowered associates. Talking about the history of how ISKCON started in Australia, I was reading Kuruma Prabhu's book, The Great Transcendental Adventure, recommendedly for anyone who wants to know about how ISKCON is developing all, how it began in Australia and New Zealand. Balimardhan Prabhu, a young brahmachari from New York, he was already sent to Japan by Prabhupada to open up a center and preach there. And they were, of course, very early days, and they were doing the Sunday days. So one Australian Bhakta, we can call it, attended there and talked about to Balimardhan about how Australia is a fertile ground for Krishna consciousness. There was interest in yoga and meditation and all that. So Balimardhan then wrote to Prabhupada saying, Prabhupada, I got this interest to go to Australia to start a center. Prabhupada was very excited, blessed him. And that letter came into the hands of Prabhupada's secretary at that time, Upendra. And Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. So this is in Los Angeles where Upendra Prabhu carries his letter to Prabhupada and says, Srila Prabhupada got this letter, Balimardhan has written, and he wants to go open a center in Australia and is asking who can go and assist him. Prabhupada read the letter and started staring at Upendra. So he looked at the letter, started staring at Upendra. Looked at the letter, started staring at Upendra. And Upendra was, oh gosh, Prabhupada, I'm here with you, serving you. Okay? But then he took on Srila Prabhupada's instruction. He then also made the trip. No money. February 1970, Balimardhan Prabhu from Japan, he flew into Sydney, Australia. No money. Upendra Prabhu had to borrow 1,500 from Gargamuni Prabhu to show the authorities here that he had the money to leave here with him. No money. So February 1970, Balimardhan landed, and a few weeks later, Upendra Prabhu landed. So Upendra Prabhu was welcomed at the airport by Balimardhan Prabhu, and they went to their ashram. And their ashram was an abandoned house. No money. No electricity, no water. They were sleeping on cardboard. And Upendra writes there that there were cockroaches the size of skateboards. No money. But they had faith. They had the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And they started, just like how Srila Prabhupada started when he landed in US, by just chanting on the streets, they started there. Like that, slowly it picked up. There was interest. And that was in Sydney. But in Melbourne, then the opportunity came in 1971. In June 1971, they rented a house. No, Actually, no, they rented a room. 111 Domain Road, South Yarra. It was a hippie joint. Rent was $10 a week. Hippie joint reeking of marijuana and whatever other inauspicious activities going on. Right? But they set up base June 1971. Then the police raided that place. So they had to relocate. They moved to 79 Station Road, Carlton. This was a 3-bedroom house. Rent was a few dollars at that time. Then again they started this street chanting and all that. Then they moved. I think it was in... they moved to 14 Burnett Street, St. Kilda. So I wasn't there, but I'm sure we got devotees who are with us today who can give more details about how that journey all took place. So, yeah, December 1971, 14 Burnett Street was a 10-room terrace house. Rental per week was $34. 10-room terrace house, $34. Almost 50 years ago, right? So that became the base Prabhupada actually visited. Prabhupada's first visit was on 5th of April 1972. He came to Burnett Street, the temple there. And I think that's where Radha Vallabha was installed. Is that right? Yeah, Radha Vallabha, Sri Radha Vallabha, they were installed there. And Jagannath Baladev Subhadra were installed there too. Then came the story of how this property, Bank Street, was obtained. 10th of October 1974. The contract was signed to purchase this building, 197 Bank Street. This building, including Srila Prabhupada's house next door. The price was $185,000. Big money at that time. No money. Okay? Just a handful of devotees, and this was a big investment. And His Holiness Ramaswamy Maharaj, he told me one time that he was a brahmachari at that time. He was months on end out there doing sankirtan collections to pay $185,000. 10th of October 1974, the contract was signed. Madhudrisa Prabhu was leading the congregation at that time here in Melbourne. But Prabhupada came 17th of May 1975 to install Gauranika. Gauranika, that we see here, we have seen videos of Prabhupada having installed that. Right? We see Prabhupada standing there, how he's doing Abhishek and all that. And the Lordship, there's a story as to how they arrived, and this place, when it was bought, it needed a lot of renovation. A lot of renovation. This hall was 2 classrooms. And Prabhupada house, it needed so much of renovation. No money. But again, faith in Prabhupada and wanting to please Guru, they just went on doing whatever they needed to do. This marble that we are sitting on today came from Greece and Italy. This lotus onyx, Pakistani onyx. The altar, Jaipur. Their lordships, Gauranika themselves, they originated from Bengal. I'm not sure whether Mayapur, but it says Bengal. Each personality weighs 270 kilograms. 6 devotees, strong devotees, were needed to move them into position. It's not the 270 kilograms. The Lord can be as heavy as He wants or as light as He wants. But it is God, the expression of love that we see from the devotees of yesteryears to please Srila Prabhupada, who placed his lotus footprints. The very ground that we are sitting here today, Prabhupada has walked this walk. The very ground outside this temple, Prabhupada has walked this ground. The staircase leading up to Prabhupada's room upstairs, he has walked those staircases. He has stayed in the room upstairs in his room. In fact, 17th of May 1975, when the devotees picked him up from the airport, they brought him here, they took him up to his room, and they showed him that wonderful room, all nicely set up. Prabhupada, in a humble, submissive mood, as though he didn't deserve all that, he turned around and said to them, "Is this all for me? It's like I don't deserve this." In all humility. But that pure devotee has set his footprints here. And today is a Tirtha. A Tirtha where the lordships have manifested here. One of the rare few temples in the ISKCON world where Srila Prabhupada has personally installed them. Not only that, this pastime of Bharat Maharaj, we are talking about the Gandaki River. We have got personalities from the Gandaki River, the Shaligram Silas, sitting on the altar, giving us darshan. The Prime Shila, Lord Trivikram, again recently, Kurma Prabhu, he posted some history as to how Lord Trivikram manifested here in Melbourne. He told the pastime of where in India, Achyudananda Swami and a yogi friend of his, they went to take bath in the Godavari River in India. So as they were in the water, the yogi submerged, disappeared. Okay. Then when he emerged from the water, he had Lord Trivikram in his hand. So he told Achyudananda Swami that when he was down in the water, he had traveled all the way to Gandaki River. Because Gandaki River is where the Shaligrams are. And he came back and he emerged. And this, the yogis, they have the siddhi, Prapti siddhi. And he handed Lord Trivikram to Achyudananda Swami, who then took it to Mayapur and handed to Janini Vasa, who then started worshipping on the altar in Mayapur. Janinivas Prabhu then handed over to Bhavananda Prabhu. Bhavananda Prabhu, in his tribals, who was a leader at that time, he brought Lord Trivikram to Melbourne. He handed Lord Trivikram to Kurma Prabhu, who was a head pujari then. And Kurma Prabhu started worshipping Lord Trivikram on the altar here today. And to this day, we are fortunate to be able to serve Lord Trivikram together with all the other personalities on the altar. So if we think about the journey that the devotees of yesteryears took to build this wonderful expression of love for Srila Prabhupada, for the lordships to descend to give us darshan, we can't help but think how fortunate we are. How fortunate we are to be walking the very same grounds that a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, has walked. So in the same way that the devotees of yesteryears have left this legacy for us, what do we do today as devotees of today for the future generations to come? This is not just bricks and mortar. Bricks and mortar, easy to maintain. You can knock it down, you can rebuild. But you cannot reveal the mood with which Srila Prabhupada and the devotees of yesteryears have actually imbibed into this temple atmosphere. maintaining that mood of Srila Prabhupada, that mood of service, that mood of Lord Chaitanya to propagate the mission of Nama Sankirtan, is a mood that can be easily lost. Just like how Maharaj Bharat has lost his consciousness to hold on to the lotus feet of the Lord. In conclusion, I like to end with Prabhupada's quotation here. Here in Nanda, he said, quote, "As soon as you offer yourself to be enjoyed by Krishna, then you are the spiritual world. So you can become situated in the material world or the spiritual world as you desire. As you desire." This temple is not in Melbourne. We are not living in Melbourne. This is Vrindavan. So, if you stick to this temple service, Krishna service, then you need not be in the material world. That is your position, unquote. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments?
You just said that we need association with others who find out. So like before Prabhupada came, Oklahoma didn't have the world. Like before Prabhupada came to Oklahoma, it didn't have any devotees. So how do we take association in Oklahoma? Because before there was no devotees.
How do we take association?
Like before,
Prabhupada came to
Oklahoma. Yeah, there was no devotees there, and so then like one devotee went, but then he didn't take association. So like, how do you take association in such places where like there's no devotees?
How do we take association when there's no devotees? Prabhupada's books are reaching out far and wide. And today, with the internet, Prabhupada's teachings are going to every computer. If we choose to open the computer, switch on, and search for Prabhupada's teachings. So we take association even in places where there are no devotees, as long as we have a computer or a phone and we have internet, we can search for association. Is that okay?
Thank you
for the nice class. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you for the nice class. My question was that
what's wrong if Bharat Maharaj has compassion for the baby deer? Where Prabhupada says we have to show compassion to all living entities. Yes, we have to show compassion to all living entities. But we have to show compassion by first thinking of Lord Krishna. See, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he took instructions from his father, correct? Vishwadev said one of his strong instructions was to his 100 sons, including Bharat Maharaj, do not become a guru a mother, father, husband, or a worshipable demigod, if you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Right? And therefore, yes, we want to show compassion, we have to try and deliver our dependence. But to be able to deliver them, we need to remain Krishna conscious. And what's the point of being compassion when we are not Krishna conscious? So being Krishna conscious is the pivot, the root, so that we can then remain fixed to show the mercy that Prabhupada is using us as an instrument to. We are just a conduit. That compassion is flowing from Srila Prabhupada through us. So if we don't remain Krishna conscious, we are ending that conduit, we are blocking it from passing on to others. Any other group?
There's two types of compassion. And one is on the material platform and another is on the spiritual platform. We need to be able to distinguish between the two. Maharaj Bharata's compassion to the deer was on the sentimental platform. It degraded to the material platform. So that he was imagining so many spiritual characteristics of the deer, as is witnessed in these statements, the Prabhupada said it's dangerous. So, as devotees, we need to be careful about discriminating between material and spiritual compassion and understand the difference between the two. And how, you know, mundane, compassionate behavior, and this is why the history of, you know, his story is so pertinent for us, because it illustrates how misplaced compassion can actually make you fall down, effectively. That's what's going on. And so we have to be careful about our compassion to each other. And not mistake sentimentality for spirituality, which is pretty common. Think, you know, if we're praising the devotees, that we're following the right etiquette, but we actually may be damaging. We may be, you know, what you should answer to the example says, if a person is praising me, he's my enemy. I mean, oh no, he was such a wonderful devotee, but that devotee probably shouldn't need that. Because then he starts thinking, yeah, I'm such a wonderful devotee. So sentimentality and spirituality, I suppose. And Maharaj is very it's a good example of how we shouldn't mistake material compassion for spiritual activity, because in this case it wasn't. Another thought. You mentioned how we're not the doer, right? When we're doing the offering. But then, who is doing it? We're doing it, but we're not doing it. So, who is doing it?
The senses, the activity, the physical activity is all being done through our four senses. But at the subtle level, our consciousness is we are assisting the Guru.
That's
a different
question.
Hmm.
Who is doing it?
Don't know.
Yeah.
My understanding is, as I said, we are using our activities. We got the body. We got the mind, intelligence, ego, and we got the gross senses. And we are applying those. The physical movements are at that level.
Your name is on the roster. So you must have heard something.
Actually,
there are five courses of action in the eighth structure of the Bhagavad Gita. And the endeavor, you know, the effort of the individual is also part of it all. So you know, in one sense you can say, I'm not doing it, but it actually we are doing it. Mm. There are five elements. There's the super soul.
Yes.
There's managing everything. There's also the endeavor of the living entity.
Mm.
And so in that sense, you know, we are doing something. And we're also part of the dual department. But of course, it's multifaceted.
Mm.
The senses, the body is doing. An analysis of the whole situation says that we're doing, but we also are practice. Otherwise, you wouldn't put your name on the roster.
Somebody put my name on the roster.
We can all consent. So we have to be a little careful about saying we're not doing it because we actually are. We're part of that whole combination of actions and meditation and results and stuff.
Mm.
This is cool.
Thank you, Guru. Thank you for the comments and the corrections. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.